Good morning. Don't panic. I have a watch, and there's a big clock on the... I was in church one day, and the pastor at the front, he did this. He took it off, took his watch off, and he put it down like that. He said, "Do you know what that means when a pastor does that?" And he looked at me and said, "It means absolutely nothing." Nothing at all. He's not going to look at it once, right? So... And I like that, but that's it's good if you've got a Bible. Carrying on from what Martha Mary prayed earlier there, coming to church next week, come with your antenna up, all right? You know what I mean by that, right? Come like prayed up. Say, God, like, give us some insight. Help us. We're talking about, listen to a young guy who's who we need to listen to and listen to well and discern and along with him, all right? Because it's a big decision for him. It's a big decision for us, right? And we don't want him to make the wrong decision. We don't want to make the wrong decision, okay? So come with your antenna up, which means that you have to remember that the clocks go forward on Saturday night, all right? Because it would not be good if we all came as late as Mark normally does. All right, so was that out loud again? Outside voice, right? Yeah, no filter. Okay, so if you just remember, please remember, clocks forward. If you want to freak everybody out, just do it tonight. Just do it tonight. Get it over and done with. By next week, you'll be ready. It just means you'll be early, and nobody minds that. Right? It's okay. You can do it. Trust me, actually does work. Okay, turn your Bibles, if you will, please, to Jeremiah chapter 6. Bouncing off the ancient doors and ancient gates, we looked last week at the word ancient for a little while, just from Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. This is what it says. This is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads. Stop and look around. Ask for the ancient and godly way and walk in it. Remember, we looked at that and said, that ancient way, something that we can't mess with. We don't get permission from God to mess with his ancient way, to make it more socially acceptable, to make it more palatable to ourselves so that we can fit all our excuses of our lifestyles into going his way and move his way around. We have to stick to his way. We've got it. That's what he asks us to do. Why? So that we can have rest for our souls. Right? And we live in a world that's full of angst and full of just people wound up tighter than a 9-day clock. Do you know what I mean by that? Like just like there, and that's why road rage is there. People are just so wound up that if you do the wrong thing, they'll ram your car, or they just, the whole reactions are so out of proportion to what they should be because people have no rest in their souls. And then we read these lines, but you reply, "No, that's not the road we want." Like, really? Like, really? But that's what we reply. Often we reply that. No, that's not the way I want to go. I can see God's path. I know God's path, but I'm not going to do it. Then it says this in verse 17. I'll be really quick. Don't worry. I posted watchmen over you who said... What watchman? I posted. I don't know where your brain goes when you read things in the Bible, right? Like mine is a little bit scattered. And so when I read things in the Bible, I think, you posted. Like, I just think of a mailbox, all right? That's just where my brain goes. Like, you posted watchman. What does that mean? Do you stick them in an envelope and put? No, he puts them in place. He put them in position. Well, what's a watchman? Anybody have any idea what a watchman is? Because we don't have watchmen around our cities anymore. Guards. Watch over you, right? They watch over you. I was in a place that we have them in England a lot, when I was in a place in the prairies where there's a place where they used to build the fires for warnings for invading bands. And that's not hard to do in the prairies because you can see them coming for weeks, right? Like you can, especially when they don't have cars and they're just walking on them, we'll creep up on them. Fat chance of that. So like, and so they would light fires, these signal fires, the enemy's coming. And they'd have a watchman ready by the fire. And some and the turning stones, where they would rub the sticks in the turning stone to light the moss, to throw it on the fire, was still there on my friend's ranch. It's just wonderful to go and see that. I think they had watchmen even then. And we look at watchmen and we think, watchmen. Well, who are the watchmen? Well, we got some pictures of watchmen on the back of the church notice there. Like the elders are watchmen in our church. That's part of their job. They watch. So that if I start wigging out and telling you all sorts of stuff that's not in the book, they can drag me into the car park and beat me with sticks. Right? So that's their job. Right? Not to beat me with sticks, but to take me aside and say, you can't preach that, it's not biblical. They're watchmen. Right? And I don't want to embarrass him. But I love preaching when Michael's sitting, and he's normally sitting there. He's sitting for two rows further back today, so it's messing with my brain. I love it because he sits like this, and it's wonderful because I'm thinking he's listening and he's enumerating like a cow, like it's going in and I love that. Why? Because you're not just sitting there saying, oh yeah, take everything in. No. You've got to run it past the Bible. I've posted watchmen. Why? Because just because someone stands in front of you in the church doesn't mean they're going to tell you the truth. Now, it means that here. But we need watchmen. We need watchmen, right? We need watchmen. We need people to make sure, like, okay, is that biblical? Where and that's why I often give out my phone number, right? 604-219-0911. Phil Cann, PHILCANN at Shaw, SHAW.CA. Why? Because then if I say something that bothers you, you can phone me or email me. Right? It holds accountable. You see, the whole watchman thing isn't just the job of the elders. It's the job of everybody. Right, we look around and we think, hey, you know, I haven't seen them for a couple of weeks. I wonder where they are. And you're a watchman. I didn't have to fight them for a car park space this morning. Are they on vacation or should I call them? And you might think, I don't want to call them because I'll feel guilty. Good. Be a travel agent for a guilt trip. Just do it, right? Just phone them. Phone them, ask them where they were. You know, do that with people. Why? Because we're watchmen. We're looking out for each other. And this is what he says. He says, the watchmen ask you this. The watchmen, and they say, who said to you, listen for the sound of alarm. Why would anybody have to tell you to listen for the sound of alarm? When my alarm goes off in the morning, I do not have to listen for it. I want to pick it up and throw it across the room. But and it's funny because when years and years and years ago, I was at a camp, a youth camp, and we were preaching, and I wasn't preaching. The guy was preaching. There was a worship band, and a little bit like Mark did this morning. The guy was saying, "Listen, if you feel God speaking to you, calling your life, just that you might want to come down the front and be prayed for." I did. And never knew where it was going to take me. Never understood what it didn't understand at the time what it meant. And that's why I love that line. We don't have to understand. If we knew where it was going to take us, we'd be too scared to do it. Often, right? And so I went down, and as I was being prayed for at the front of the church, and I just got this strange little picture in my brain, right? I mean, it was just, I hadn't been thinking about clocks or alarm clocks or anything like that. And it was your job is an alarm clock. That's your job. Your job is an alarm clock. You're supposed to wake people up and tell them what time it is spiritually. Wake them up and tell them what time it is. And don't expect any more reward than being bashed on the head like you do with an alarm clock. And that's I thought, okay, well, I'm in. I'm in. Then do it. They said, there's some, and this is what I told some, talked to one of the pastors who prayed for me that evening. And I talked to him afterwards, and I said, this is, I don't know where this came from. I had this thought. And he said, yeah, he said, that's true. He said, but remember this. He said, people don't like alarm clocks. He said, but if it breaks, they'll buy a new one. You don't like them, but if they break, you buy a new one. Why? Because we need that. God gives us watchmen. He gives us people who says, this is the danger, steer away from it, or this is a good thing, run towards it. This is the watchman's job. This is what he does. I posted watchmen to sound the alarm. Why would they need to say, listen, when the alarm goes off? Why? Because you're too stinking busy. We're too stinking busy sometimes to actually stop. I sat in my house one day when I was a kid. My parents were out. Me and my brother were in the house. We were in the kitchen, right? Two boys. We were in the kitchen. My mum and dad got home to the house, and the whole house was full of smoke. We had no idea. Not a clue. We were playing, running around. We were in the kitchen, and there was a pan on the stove, and my mum was making a steam pudding, like that steams in water and just bubbles away. And without knowing, she hadn't put enough water in it. It boiled dry, and the pan had gone, and there was this thing inside, and it had melted and gone, and it was smoking, and we were totally oblivious. Absolutely oblivious. They walked in and said, what's going on here? Opened all the windows before anybody had smoke alarms or all that. Just to burn things down then. And there's no smoke alarms. And just came in, opened all the windows, took the thing off the stove. And as soon as they said about it, we looked around and said, oh, yeah. Like the whole house smelled of burnt stuff. Why? Because we were so engrossed in our activity that we were doing that we didn't even notice that the house was about to catch fire if we didn't do anything. And sometimes when we're so engrossed in our routines and so engrossed in our me-centricness, like it's almost like God has to come and say, hey, like, wake up, look around. Why? Why? Well, because there's an alarm. You've got to get on with going the right way. Listen to what it says. But you reply, no, we won't pay attention. Isn't that bizarre? Like, really? I love the peanut butter advert where the guy goes, come on! Like, really? Like, come on! Like, I'm thinking, like, no, we won't pay attention. Like, really? Come on! Like, really? You deliberately, willfully will not pay attention. Why would we live like that? When he says, have rest for your soul. Have rest for your soul. There was a man in England, an old man, may even be dead now, I'm not sure. It was Dr. David Pawson, David Pawson, the Reverend. And I may have told somebody this before, but it's a great, great thing. This guy who's a biker, Hell's Angel guy, came to their church, became a Christian, and came to him straight after the service and said, I want to be baptized. And he's in all his patches and, you know, just smelling like he should. And said, I want to be baptized. And the Reverend Dr. David Paulson said to him, you need to go away and pray for 2 weeks. See what God tells you. And then come back. And so he came back. He banged on the door of the house. The parsonage, everybody called it the Paulsonage because he lived there. And the parsonage, he banged on the church, the door of the house next to the church. 2 weeks later, bang, 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 bang. And David Paulson went to the door, opened the door like this. And the Hell's Angel looked at him, and he went, and David, exactly the same way as you're doing to me, looked totally confused. He went, why is he doing this? He said, stop biting my nails. Isn't that awesome? Stop biting my nails. There's a million other things. But the point was this, that he listened and he had a heart to do. It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. He went away and prayed, and God said to him, you need to stop biting your nails. He listened and he heard and he stopped. How cool is that? Now all of us in the room think, well, but what about all this? And what about, and God said, no, we'll sort all that out in the years to come. The problem that we most of us face is we don't listen, and when we do listen, we're not prepared to do. This guy has caught it. He's listening to what God's saying to him, and he's actually doing it. So get the guy wet. Get him wet, like, get him wet. And it's more than being wet, right? It's way more than being wet. You're setting somebody free. What you want to leave in that water, you leave in the water. Just hold him down. You know, get him back up. And so he baptized the guy. And some people were really concerned about it. He said, no, you don't understand. This is a heart issue. It's a heart issue. And that this is a heart issue for us, that we listen to what God tells us to do, and then we do it. We're into Lent. I'm off coffee.
What?
So, yeah, that was. I prayed long and hard about that one. So I'm off coffee. So I know we're into Lent, right? So we're into Lent, and Lent is this leading in area, period, as Michael said today, pointing towards the crucifixion. It's a great time. It's a great time. What's funny, strange, is that all gospel writers, they all end in the same place. But all four of them take longer in their introduction before they get there. Because their theme is the death of Jesus. Every single gospel writer, that's their theme. That's where it ends. Death, resurrection of Jesus, that's where it ends. Some of them take 18 chapters to get there. Some of them take 20 odd. So their introduction to that main event varies. But the main event is the same. And as we lead up to Lent, as we lead up to crucifixion and resurrection time, and as we're going through Lent, I want to encourage you, spend some time listening. Spend some time listening. One of my unofficial things for Lent this year is to reduce screen time. And I actually stuck it on my phone to remind me. So, I know it's bizarre, but it gives me a little report every week what my average screen time per day is. And I'm wanting to get it down, reduce it and reduce it and reduce it. It's quite small anyway, but I want to reduce it more. Less time looking at this when there's all that. Why would I live my life like this when I can live my life like this? Just listen to him. Spend time listening to him. Spend time asking him. Ask him to show you the way. And when he answers, do. When he answers, do. There was a guy, and I'll end here. The guy in my wife's church, she wasn't the pastor, it was where she went. he became a Christian, and he owned one of those, you know, those 1-866 numbers, those 1-800, you know, phone, you know, dial this number for a good time tonight. Be careful if you nod. Oh yeah, I mean, I want to, how do you, well. He owned those. That's what that was his job and his business. He became a Christian, and he had no idea what to do. He said, I have all this money that I've got from this. His heart was broken, and he spent time praying, God, what do I do? I've got a multi-million pound business that's immoral. I can't sell it. I've built it. I can't sell it. What are we doing? And I don't know how he did it in the end. He cashed it in somehow, right? And gave the money to the church. I think, like, well, he said, I can't touch the money. I can't do it. He said, I earned it wrong. I can't do it. So he said, you guys can deal with it. I can't. And so he gave it to the church. They did loads of stuff. They built a hospital and all this, an educational center and all this stuff with it. Why? Because one guy listens. He started to listen. And even though it was challenging, the most challenging thing he ever did, he listened, he heard, and he did. Listened, heard, and did. One of the most wonderful things that it says in Jeremiah. It says this, It says that we'll find God when we seek him with our whole heart. If we just seek him with our whole heart, we'll find him. We'll find him. Because he wants you to find him. And more important, he wants to find you. He knows exactly where you are. But he won't be fully found until we invite him in. Let's pray together, shall we? You can stand if you like, please. Father, in Jesus' name, help us to be fully found by you.